What is up, my fellow side hustlers? This is your friend and host, Ryan Helms. I want to welcome you to the Hustle to Freedom podcast. Every week, I bring you interviews with everyday people who are creating extraordinary side hustles, and this week is no different. If you're looking to take your side hustle to the next level as well, you need to check out the Side Hustle Journal. It's the only journal on the market focused on helping side hustlers like you expedite the process of starting and growing a profitable business in your spare time, no matter how busy life may be. And for a limited time, I'm giving away a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal to anyone who leaves a review on the podcast. All you need to do is leave a review, take a screenshot, and send me an email to hello@gritandhustle.co. That's hello@gritandhustle.co. I'll send you the link to pick up your free copy. All you need to do is cover shipping. Now, let's dive into the chat with Brendan Doubles and learn how he took a passion of his, escape rooms, and turned it into an awesome side hustle, the Escape Room Accelerator. If you're unfamiliar with an escape room, it is basically a room that you get locked in with a few other people, hopefully that you like, and you have to find clues that will lead to your freedom. So, let's find out how Brendan took that passion and turned it into something that will make him money. Let's hop into that chat now.
I am the client experience director at a software company called Entreport, and we help entrepreneurs automate their business systems so they can spend more time on what matters most. I started at the company probably about 9 years ago. I was actually the fifth employee. We're well over 100 now, and so it's been an interesting experience seeing it grow. You know, the environment's changed so much.
Yeah, so are you from California originally?
Yeah. I was born in Santa Barbara, moved all around, lived in Washington, Indiana for a bit. But, you know, when I had a choice, I had to come back. This place, Santa Barbara, is amazing.
Yeah. So, like, what's your background like as far as it sounds like you're on kind of like the sales customer facing side? Is that where your background's in, or did you just kind of stumble into that?
Yeah, so I just totally stumbled into the job. So when I first started, like I said, I was the fifth employee. And so I just responded to a Craigslist ad. I think it's
a Craigslist ad.
Yeah. It said customer support Jedi needed. And I was like, this sounds awesome. So I went and applied. Anyways, you know, there have been some ups and downs. After the first couple of weeks, actually, CEO forgot to pay me. And I couldn't get a hold of him because he went on vacation. So I had to meet him at a bank and like get a personal check. Thankfully, we don't have those problems anymore.
Yeah.
But since then, I've been doing a little bit of everything. Customer support, sales, onboarding, email deliverability. And so I've worked with a lot of the top email marketers out there. And that's where I get most of my experience from.
Very cool, man. So it sounds like you most definitely have your hands full with your day job. So I guess my first question to you is, with all this going on in life, and you've already mentioned you have a girlfriend, so you do something outside of work, and you've got what we'll get into, some of your side hustles that you have going on. Why are you doing this? Why are you taking this extra time to start these side hustles when you have this busy life already?
Yeah. So I love my job. I love my 9-to-5. Since I've been there for so long, you know, the product's like my baby. But that being said, there are still other things that I care about that I want to accomplish and like ways for me to sort of leave my fingerprints on the world. One of the growing problems that I see is that people are becoming more and more disparate. And don't get me wrong, I love technology. Obviously I work for a SaaS company, so technology is huge to me. But with social media and the internet, I feel like people are getting more and more disconnected. And it used to be very commonplace for people to get together and like go to the movies or like have a dinner party. And I feel like that's happening less and less, because while technology does unite us across vast distances, it also causes us to forget about the people that we've got immediately around us. And so this side hustle that I'm starting is called Escape Room Accelerator. And I started this because, one, I love escape rooms. But two,
can you explain what an escape room is for people that don't know?
Yeah. So an escape room is, it's going to sound silly at first, I promise, but if you ever experience it, you'll love it. So an escape room is a room that you get locked into for an hour. It's usually themed, and then it's full of puzzles and clues, and you're sort of on a mission, and you have to solve all these puzzles and clues and work together to figure it out and get out of the room within an hour.
Is that so? Is that typically the theme, no matter which escape room you go to? Because I've been to one, and it was basically just how you're describing it. I think maybe I went with too advanced of a level right off the bat, because everybody that I was with in there, we felt like complete idiots. They gave us all the clues and we still got nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. There are good ones. There are bad ones. You know, the better ones, I think, have a more logical flow and they're not too difficult. There's also different difficulty levels and things like that. Yeah. But yeah, that's the main gist of it. And they've got themes with everything from like a secret spy mission to like saving the rainforest, to, you know, magicians and wizards and stuff. It's fun. But my favorite thing about that is that it actually brings people together in a physical space. And as humans, as we continue to evolve, community is important. And I feel like this is one of the few things these days that is actually bringing people together physically and getting them to interact.
Absolutely. And I know that when we did it, there was two other people with me, and then there was three other people in the room that we didn't know. And by the time you get done, you've interacted so much, and it's almost like you know the people. Right.
Totally. Yeah. You all struggle with the puzzles, and there's frustrations, and you're locked in the room for an hour. And so it just kind of forces you to like push through all that shit.
Yeah.
Your frustrations, you figure it out together and ideally get out or not.
Yeah. So I get that you like the concept of escape rooms because it brings people together. So tell us how your current side hustle, the Escape Room Accelerator, what does that do, and how does it play into the whole escape room market?
Yeah. So the people that make these rooms, they're usually very passionate and very creative types. Many of them, especially in LA, for example, they're set designers, they're makeup artists. And so they have connections in the film industry. They went to school for things like set design. And so they make these just beautiful, amazing, creative rooms that you literally could just lose yourself in. But the problem is like, that's what they're good at. They don't really know a whole lot about running a business and attracting customers and then getting repeat business and generating referrals. And so it's unfortunate because I think it's such a cool thing. But I can't tell you how often I hear from people like, what's an escape room? Or even worse, I'll do an escape room. They now have all of my information. I've opted in to them. They have my email address, and I just never receive any follow-up. And so I want to help these passionate creative types that are creating these businesses that I love become more popular and profitable, because it's some really low hanging fruit for them.
How big is this market? Give us an idea of, because I'm sure some people listening, they're living in places, probably smaller towns. There's definitely no such thing as an escape room. But overall, like where you're at, how many are there?
So I would say within like a 2-hour radius of here in Santa Barbara, we've probably got 450 or so.
Holy shit, that's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, keep in mind LA and San Fernando Valley and all that's around here. They're popular and they're popping up everywhere. And so they started mainly in big cities, Los Angeles, Austin, New York. There's a few in Denver as well. And those were kind of the hubs, but they're starting to pop up in smaller cities now too. I mean, in Santa Barbara, we actually have two businesses here with a third one coming soon.
Very cool. So it sounds like a lot of them are popping up. Are a lot of them going out of business as well? Because they, like you said, they don't know how to do the follow-up and the marketing and grow.
So it's starting to look that way. One of the benefits about the business model of escape rooms is that there's not a whole lot of overhead. And so where with many businesses, you have to pay for stock and you have to have like 4 or 5 people working at all times. you need a lot of like different permits and things like that. With escape rooms, there's not that big of a barrier to entry. They're fairly reasonable. You pay to set up the room once, and then the staff that you have working it isn't that expensive. And so usually it's unfortunately a slow death for escape room companies because they're not spending a whole lot of money, but then they're also not making a whole lot of money either. And the thing is obviously with more money, they can add more rooms, they can up the experience. And without it, you know, there's really only one choice, which is closing shop.
How you got this idea, I take it because you were going to so many of them and you would opt into their offering and you would never hear anything of it. And you having the background in marketing and things like that, you were like, hey, man, there's a gap here. How'd you validate that this is something you should invest some time in?
Yeah. So first things first, I just decided like I know a lot about marketing, and any person who's worth their salt in the marketing world knows that they know nothing, which seems stupid, but it's totally true. Like anyone who tells you like they know the best way for you or your business or your market, like they're wrong. There's best practices for sure, but it's going to vary. And so testing is more important than anything. Yeah. And so the first thing that I did was I just started contacting rooms that I had done, the owners that I had spoken with, and just been like, hey, I want to validate this idea. I see that you've got no email follow-up. I think that I can probably increase your revenue by like 30, 40% just by adding in basic follow-up. Mm. Let me do this with you. Let me do this for you just as a test case. We'll measure the results, and you don't have to pay me anything. This is only going to validate my idea. The only thing that you have to do is you have to promise me when I get you that 30% or that 40% that you will be just a screaming testimonial for me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm actually doing that with a local company, Santa Barbara. It's the House of Clues. And so it allowed me actually to validate and prove that in this market, simple email follow-up is enough to do the trick.
You don't even need any advanced tricks. It's just basics.
Yeah. And honestly, obviously the advanced stuff takes you to the next level, but it's crazy how far the basics took it. And honestly, that's kind of how it is in most businesses. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Like if you, anyone that's selling anything, I mean, the follow-up is huge because most people, there's so much going on, kind of to what you were talking about in the beginning. There's so much going on in the world and we're so tied to technology. There's constantly dings and bings and bongs from our phone. We get so distracted. Like oftentimes you have intentions of doing something, but you get distracted and forget about it. So like that follow up is just to bring you back to what you actually wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. So is the House of Clues, which is also a terrific name. So they're helping you out because that's such a catchy name. Is this your first one that you're working with?
Yeah. So this is the proof of concept stage. Yeah. We've got the emails spinned up. I think the first one went out just about a week ago. And this one wasn't even automated. This was just a broadcast to all the names they had collected. Mm-hmm. And then now what's going to happen is moving forward, we're going to send an automated email out to all of the people that come through 2 weeks after they sign up. And so there was already huge success with that first broadcast. And I'm betting since this one will be more timely, for example, one pay period after their first visit, asking them to come to their other rooms, there's going to be a huge impact.
Was there any hesitation from the owner to give you access to like their email addresses and all that kind of stuff, being that you kind of came off the street and approached them?
So surprisingly, no. I think that I might have had a little bit going for me just because I've been in the community for so long, and I've actually done all four of their rooms. Mm. And so I've spoken with them before. And when I sent the email, I led with why I wanted to do this and also just qualified it with the fact of like, you guys have already met me. I've done all of your rooms. I love what you're doing. And, you know, I could have just gotten lucky too. Maybe they're just like, you know what? what the heck? What kind of damage can you do anyways?
Yeah. I mean, and your offer is in some ways irresistible, right? What do they have to lose? You're saying that you'll do it for free. All they have to do is, you're probably going to ask them to hop, do a quick video testimonial or something like that. It's a win-win for them. Even if they never use you again, they just take what, like, okay, here's what Brendan did. Now I'm just going to try to replicate that. Like, you both win. They get kind of the blueprint and you get the testimonial, what's going to help you grow.
Yeah. And the proof of concept is the biggest takeaway for me, for sure. And I think just creating that mutual win scenario is great, because realistically, I don't think anyone will disagree with you when you go to them and you're like, hey, you're not doing anything. Like, even if we just send out one simple email, that'll be better than nothing. I can help you do that for free. And for a lot of these owners, it's not just the time, but it's also, it's not just the money, but it's the time that goes into it, right? Mm-hmm. For someone like me, it takes me 5 minutes to do an email broadcast, right? Like, I can design a quick email and send it out. But for someone who's not in the email world, who's not in the marketing world, it's a whole nother project, right?
Yeah.
So before
we get any more into this, so it sounds like you're looking at your LinkedIn and seeing or hearing you talk about some of what you're doing here. You're really good with emails. Are there any tips for anyone listening on some best practices as far as email to kind of up that deliverability?
The first thing is definitely, it varies by industry, and always test for yourself. That being said, best practices, I find very brief subject lines are best. Not only do they generally get to the inbox more, but it lowers the barrier of entry to opening the message. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to write a book for a subject line. For me, I try to keep my subject lines like 4 words, mm-hmm. 5 words at most. Don't use huge images. That's another thing. The spam filters look out for emails with a bunch of huge images in them, because spammers used to, rather than writing things out and it could be caught by spam filters, they would start including images that had, it was a photo of the words, right? Mm-hmm. And spam filters couldn't tell, like, oh, these words are in the photo, because it was just a photo file. So the ESPs tend to block emails that have a ton of big photos in them. Yeah. And then just make sure you're sending out relevant stuff. You know, it's really easy to forget that we're in a constant conversation with our people, with our customers, right? And it's not meant to be a one-way communication thing. Email was created and it was amazing, because you could send an email from California to New York and the message would arrive in 2 seconds. And, you know, you go back, let's say 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and that just wasn't possible. Like, if you wanted to send something, like, I mean, you could use a telegraph, I guess, or the post office, and it would take like 3 weeks,
if
right?
It gets there.
Yeah, exactly. and so just keep that in mind. Like, it's a conversational medium. And so talk to your people like they're people, and don't just ask. You got to give. Like, you got to give content, be helpful, be useful, create that mutual win, right? Because if you're just saying like, hey, come buy my stuff. Hey, come buy my stuff. Hey, come buy my stuff. Like, people are going to unsubscribe and forget about you.
Yes.
But if you say, hey, come buy my stuff, after you've just sent them a week of things that have changed their lives, changed their businesses, or changed their situation in a way that just wasn't possible before, like, they're going to be much more likely to listen to that sales pitch, right? Because you've given first before you asked.
Yeah, no, I think those are awesome pointers. And like you said, just everything's different. The market, every market is different. You know, don't take someone's advice as kind of the blueprint for your business. For example, I know one of the things that I want to get done this year is really launching a course to help people start a side hustle, just to kind of walk them through it from beginning to end. And I reached out to this guy who's really big in the internet marketing world. And he was like, yeah, do it on a webinar. Started off on a webinar. Cool. I'm okay with that. And then he said, you know, it has to be Thursdays at, what do you say, like Thursdays at 10 and 3. And I'm like, dude, like, all my peoples are at work. Like, no one's going to show up. So like all that to say, like, you know, be logical when you're listening to advice and don't just apply something blindly. So yeah, I appreciate you sharing those tips. So you've got Escape Room Accelerator. You're just starting out. What all are you offering? Is it just the marketing services, or what is the kind of full scope?
Yeah. So initially when I started, it was just marketing services. It was going to be like a consultancy, basically. So I would help people, point them in the right direction, let them know what they needed to use. And then the more and more that I thought about it, I came to realize that, you know, the model was flawed because I was creating myself another job. And the way that I look at it is that if you've already got a busy life and you've got a 9-to-5 and you've got a lot of things going on, you can't, building yourself another job is stupid. Like, right, I'm still going to have to be there to work those hours, to talk to those clients, to make it happen. When there is an issue, like, I'm going to be the one up at night putting the fire out. And that is a large part of the entrepreneurial life. But if you're building a side hustle or you want to be an entrepreneur, you shouldn't be making yourself another job. You should be building a business. Mm-hmm. And the difference is that a business can function. If I go on vacation for a week, my business should be able to run for the most part without me. And realistically, that's how your side hustle should be, right? Like, we've got jobs. We're busy. I don't want to give up every weekend just to work some more. And so it's important to be able to create systems and processes that run automatically, whether they be marketing, whether they be courses, whatever. For me, that was the realization that I should have an educational product rather than me doing it for these people and me being the stopper, right? Because I've only got so many hours in the day, I can charge more, but if my hours are limiting me, my business goes nowhere. So I'm now putting together a course as well. That's a really long-winded answer to your question.
I think it's awesome. So for me, this, you know, I really had this revelation. So right now, what day are we recording this on? It's March 9th. So the end of January, I went to India. So my girlfriend's from India. We were there visiting her family. This was also the time that the first batch of the Side Hustle journals were coming in. So, you know, 90% of them coming over on the water on a boat takes like over a month. And I had 120 of them FedExed over to support the early bird backers. And they were coming over the middle of my trip in India. So I wasn't going to be here. So that was super stressful. So I set up a warehouse to handle the inbound receipt and all the fulfillment of those orders. And I put in some systems, I put in some automation, and it all happened when I was on the other side of the world. I was often in places that had no cell phone service. And when I would get service again, I got an email that said, "Hey, Ryan, all 120 orders are shipped." And I'm like, this is awesome.
Totally, so, man.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on, you know, you shouldn't be creating another job. You should be creating a business that can operate when you're not there. Depending on what your why is for starting your side hustle, it can vary. But I mean, like for me, if I want to go travel the world and spend more time traveling, I can't be creating another job because I'm never going to get the opportunity to. So, you know, I think that's an awesome point to make. So what else are you doing with the Escape Room Accelerator? Is the course your main focus right now?
Yeah, right now I'm working on just making the course and setting up just some pre-made campaigns because a lot of the providers out there, Entreport, for example, they allow you to create marketing campaigns and then you can share them with other people with just a URL. So it'd be really easy for me to have some training that says, hey, this is an ideal campaign that works for escape rooms. Click this link, install it in your account, and then just put in your own content and you're good to go. So I'm working on those kind of assets and really just fine-tuning the messaging. And it's a struggle that I haven't encountered before. There's no real like list or place to like just communicate with escape room owners. And so I've been a part of different Facebook communities. And that's really my first goal, I think, is to create an audience, a larger audience.
So are you, when you're in these groups, are you, you said you're trying to craft, right, your message and build your outreach sequence and things. Are you listening what the people are saying in these groups and trying to leverage kind of their pain points and things like that?
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of listening, which is helping me fine tune my pitch, my positioning. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, there's a lot of feedback as well, because I have so much experience in marketing. I'm also often able to help. So for example, someone's like, oh, I'm opening a new room in a month and I don't know what to do. Should I do Facebook ads? Should I do Google ads? And then immediately right off the bat, there were like 30 other owners responding to their question, but not a single person mentioned like, okay, well, what about those people that did your rooms in the past? Have you reached out to them? And that was my question. It was just like, oh, well, have you considered a promotion to the people you already have? And the answer was no. And so for me, again, it's just like trying to help out and remind people that like paid traffic isn't the only way to get business.
Right? They're just so wanting to spend money, right? When you have, you know, it's something that I would have never thought about, but it goes to show you that there's all these hidden little niches out there that you can kind of find and exploit in a good way, right? Just meaning that opportunity there. Totally. And what you're doing is creating the courses is awesome because you're going to be educating these people on a part of the business that they don't really understand. So can you give us a little insight into how you plan on doing this? Like what platform are you using? Like, is it going to be like a video course? How's it going to be structured?
Yeah. So I'm kind of shopping around as far as LMS learning management systems right now. So I have a LearnDash license. I've looked at Access Ally. I think I may go with Teachable. Mm-hmm. So I really like Teachable just because it's super simple. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for the first iteration of my product, I don't need to get like super in-depth fancy with it. I think just a simple hosting platform like Teachable will do it. Probably do some video intros. I have a few sort of like e-guides lined out. So they're white papers they can download to a Kindle or an e-reader. And so I'll probably just start with the basics, do some like general email marketing stuff and then feed that up into retargeting. And then after the retargeting segment, probably talk about generating referrals. And then like the last thing will be cold paid traffic.
I'm curious to see how it works out for you, seeing how I have plans to be doing the same thing throughout this year and really hoping to that you can reach a lot of people and get some awesome testimonials. So, you know, you talked about not creating another job and things like that. And I agree with all that. And another topic that really comes to mind is, you know, a lot of side hustlers really struggle with finding mentors and people with similar interest and things like that. How do you think being working in this startup and being in California, which is like startup land, like how has this pushed you? Do you think it's pushed you to kind of do your own stuff?
Definitely. Yeah. And I'm really, really lucky. So I mentioned that I was the fifth employee at Entreport, and the CEO, Landon Ray, he's obviously been there longer than I have. I've been there for about 9 years, but he's just always been nothing but supportive. Like I said, we're a company of well over 100 now. And there have been times when people are like, you know what, I love it here, but I'm going to go travel the world. Or I love it here, but I think it's time that I start my own business. And he's been nothing but supportive for all of them. And so when I have conversations with him, we'll talk about my side hustle or what I've got going on. And it's just a supportive environment for entrepreneurs. And I think that's really, really important. And so if I was lucky because it was basically like given to me, right? Like I didn't even ask for it. I didn't look for it. I just kind of like fell into it. So I'm like truly blessed in that respect. But if you're somewhere and you don't have that in your life, this seems silly, but like Facebook user communities are huge. There's a great one called Internet Marketing Super Friends. It's got tens of thousands of members in it, all with people that are trying to grow their own businesses. obviously other Facebook communities. Like I found one for escape room owners and things like that. And so you're able to really find a community almost anywhere on the internet. Not to mention, if there's like a startup incubator near you, that's another really great spot. They have meetups frequently. So just immerse yourself in it. You know, the more you talk about your thing, the more likely you are to bring it to life because it's just on your mind. You just need people to talk to you about it.
Yeah. You know, I've been trying to do something similar and I feel lucky as well to live in Atlanta, and Atlanta in the past 5 years has really started to grow in the startup scene. And there's a lot going on in the city, and I'm just starting to take advantage of, like you said, all the different meetups and like the pitch nights that these different workspaces have and all that type of stuff, and just surrounding your yourself with people that are doing it. Like, I think that's so important. And if you don't live somewhere with that going on, I think that what you recommended is awesome. And something else that I like to always tell people is like a mentor isn't something or someone that you have to meet up with every Wednesday and have a coffee with. A mentor doesn't have to be someone that you know, right? It's someone that you look up to, you respect, and you really think and consider what they're saying. And an example of that would be like a podcast, right? So you're listening to a podcast now, and, you know, granted that I, Ryan, and you, Brendan, we're not superstar entrepreneurs right now. We're not rolling in millions of dollars and we don't have 20 years of experience, but there's people out there that do. And they're sharing all their knowledge and their experiences every day. And if you're constantly consuming that knowledge, learning from their experiences, then you have a mentor.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And actually, speaking of Facebook communities, yours is another great example. Grit and Hustle is awesome. Because there were times where I was just stumped and I just needed advice and just tossed a quick post up. Like one of them, for example, was recording video. Like, hey guys, I want a mobile video set up. I don't want to break the bank. I need some suggestions. And there was an answer in there within like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That was totally awesome.
Yeah. And you know, people, you just have to not be scared to ask questions. And like, don't think you're going to look dumb. Everybody just needs help. Everybody gets that block in their head where something as simple as, right, the answer was in your pocket, right?
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, so just get out there and find your group and find your community and leverage other people's knowledge and experience. I think that's super, super critical.
And talking about it too, like I said, it just makes it more real. I'll give you a quick example. So I was down in San Diego a couple weeks ago for a marketing conference called Traffic and Conversion. And I told a lot of people about the side hustle that I've got going on, Escape Room Accelerator. You know, it's like after hours, after drinks or whatever, when we're just talking about how things are going and catching up. Anyways, because of some of the conversations I had there, I was actually connected to someone who's looking to open up VR escape room all around Australia, right? And it's literally only happened because I was talking about this thing that I wanted to do. And this person that I was talking with, they're like, oh, hey, you know who this would be really useful for is my buddy. And he made the connection. And there's just so much value there, literally just from having a conversation. So put it out there.
It's who you know, not what you know.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Totally. A big learning experience for me on that saying was when I launched the Kickstarter, I had one guy that I just met, a local guy here in Atlanta. We met up, we had lunch, and that was it. I didn't ask anything from him. He was an executive in a company and he'd been running this blog for like the past 8 years. It was a similar niche as in like time management space. And we just chatted. And then when we got done, he was like, hey, you know, I'll make a post about it on Twitter. The first thing that went through my head was, Twitter's still around, right? It's definitely still around. He's got like 40,000 followers on Twitter and he made a post and it drew like $3,000 to my campaign, like instantly. And all I did was go have lunch with the guy and have a conversation. Yeah. But it took me finding him and reaching out to him and making that effort to you know, make that connection.
Totally.
So we've got a question for you. What, you know, you've got the day job going on. You've got this Escape Room Accelerator. What are you struggling with right now? Like, what's your biggest challenge with managing all this stuff you have going on in your life and trying to grow this side hustle?
Yeah, my biggest struggle is always with myself. I like doing things myself. Like, I'm not the best designer by any means. I'm actually partially colorblind, which is why I dropped out of college. I was studying graphic design, realized it'd be a bad idea, but that's another story. I'm not the best designer. I'm not the best marketer. I'm not the best manager. I'm not the best writer. I'm not the best video person, right? But I still try to do everything on my own. One, because it saves money. Two, because I can see it. It's directly in front of me and I always get my way. So the biggest for me has been like letting go and like realizing to make my dream come true, I need to, one, let go of the reins a little bit. And then two, not be afraid to hire people who are better than me. Like, Upwork is an amazing resource, right? And what I would do in the past when I would try and create side businesses was just struggle through it, right? And so something as simple as making a website that has like 3 pages with a logo would take me months, when if I were to spend like $100, $200 on Upwork, I could get a functioning, simple site and it would be done within a week or two.
Yeah. Can you explain what Upwork is?
Yeah. So Upwork is a website where you can go and create an account and be either a freelancer or a hirer or a company. And so if you're a freelancer, for example, if I'm a freelance graphic design artist, I can sign up my profile, and then people who are looking to hire a graphic designer for like a one-time job can find my profile and hire me. Or when they post a job, I can see the posting and apply for it. And it's usually done in, you know, sort of like a one project kind of way. And so, for example, if you were looking to build a website, you could go to Upwork, make a post with the requirements of the website. These are the colors I like. I would prefer it be written in HTML5 or whatever, right? And then you would hire someone to take care of that for you. And it's a network of freelancers from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice because not everyone knows a designer, right? Not everyone knows a writer. And so it gives you an opening to this gigantic network, and you can see all of the people who are applying, what they've done before, their reviews, and so you can make sure you don't make a bad hire.
Yeah. And on that point, do you have any tips on how not to make a bad hire? Because I've used Upwork before as well, and depending on the job, you can get a slew of I call them offers, right, for your job, bidding for that job. In, you know, picking through those can be a challenge. So how have you done that?
Yeah, so there, when you set your filters for hiring, there's beginner, intermediate, and advanced. I've just chosen to always hire intermediate. What I've found with advanced is they are so advanced that they want everything to be their way, which is fine, right? Because like I mentioned, I'm not the best designer, but when it comes to the vision, there are certain things that just need to be my way. Mm-hmm. Willing to make concessions to experts when they're designing my site, but with a lot of really advanced people, they often feel like you're kind of taking away their creative license. Whereas with intermediate people, they still make amazing suggestions to improve what I've put together. But if there are still one or two things where I'm like, that's a good suggestion, but I would prefer we go with what I spec'd out, they don't take it personally. Mm-hmm. They're just like, okay, cool, yeah, and they take care of it. Then with beginners, what I find is it's like, it's hit or miss. Like, yeah, you pay less, but the time that you lose with having to do redrafts and fixes and oftentimes finishing a project, only having to hire someone else to fix it, exactly. It's just not worth it. So intermediate's the way to go. Only hire people that have reviews. There are a lot of profiles that have no reviews, and I definitely avoid those, and you probably should too.
Yeah, no, that's all very good advice. I've used Upwork from everything from, logo creation to actually what I did with the Side Hustle Journal is I created the whole thing. Well, first I created it for some odd reason in Google Sheets. That's how I make them bigger and smaller and merge them. and then I went to Canva and I created the whole thing in Canva. And then I downloaded that in a PDF and I hired a guy on Upwork and said, hey, the manufacturer says this needs to be in an InDesign file. Can you recreate the whole thing in InDesign? And no lie, it was probably unique pages. It was probably like 40 unique pages altogether. It's like 287 when you replicate like the day pieces of it. And I paid a guy in Ukraine like $75 to do that. And I got it back and he added so much to it and so many little icons. I felt like I was ripping the guy off by paying him what I told him I would pay him.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're hiring these people in these other countries, the currency conversion is so vast. Like that $75 to him was a lot more than $75 to somebody in the U.S. So you can really get some talent if you use the advice that you just gave and make some good selections. So I think Upwork's a great tool.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Cool, man. So where do you see yourself 1 year from now? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, honestly, that's an interesting question. So like I mentioned, I've been with Entreport for about 9 years now. Plan on still being here. Obviously, if something were to happen, like we were to sell the company or go public or something, that might change. But I love it. So honestly, in a year from now, I see myself developing out more courses for Escape Room Accelerator and working in Entreport. So my idea being that, okay, well, what else do escape rooms need, right? Well, marketing is one thing, but then also like they need to know how to create cool effects and riddles and all that, right? So what about a course on creating logic puzzles and riddles and the creative process behind that? What about another course about acquiring and creating industry leading tech and set design and all of that, right? What about another course that's all about branching out, franchising and reselling or even selling their business, right? What if I'm able to create a community? And this one will probably be a little further down the road, but eventually I want to be the place where escape rooms go to communicate, to be a hub. Because, for example, if you're going to retire a room that you own, you're not just going to throw everything away, right? Most of the people in your area have done it. So how cool would it be if there was just a community of 5,000 escape rooms? Someone else is like, oh, I'm retiring my jailbreak room. And they're like, I'm retiring my butcher's room. And they just like swap. And then I've actually got one other side project going.
What's that?
So that one is, I'm a little bit addicted, but it's called Escape Base. And so it's going to be the place to rate, review, and list the escape rooms you've done. So one community that's not hard to find is escape room enthusiasts. So if you go on to Facebook, there are hundreds of these groups called escape room enthusiasts, all in different areas. And they've got tens of thousands of members. And it's literally people just asking, like, I want to do a room near me that's not scary, that takes five people and is within like 5 miles of my house or whatever. And it's just people connecting and asking each other for advice. And there's a thing called Yelp, right? But Yelp doesn't fit the need because with Yelp, you can only rate businesses. You can't rate individual rooms. So one business might have two great rooms, one crappy one. You also can't dictate like, oh, I want one that's scary or not scary. And so you can't filter on stuff like that. You also can't list all of the rooms that you do. And one interesting fad that I've found is people in these groups share these Excel spreadsheets. Some of them have done like 200 plus rooms.
What?
Yeah, 200 rooms. And they've listed out all of the rooms they did, whether they liked it or not, whether they escaped in their times. And they share them. And it's interesting. People are like, oh, these are the rooms I've done. And I usually escape this percentage of the time. And I recommend these for my list. And they share these Google Sheets. And like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Google Sheets is such a crappy way to share that information.
Yeah, and to build a journal.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. We're actually mid-design right now on that. Our developers, about 2 weeks in, all the designs are done. And so I'm hoping that'll launch within the next month. Software development takes time.
How do you plan to merge them?
Or
keep them separately?
I would probably keep them separate, but I can kind of... what's the word I'm looking for? I can kind of cannibalize escape-based lists, right? Because there are going to be owners coming to claim their rooms, which now means all of the owners are coming and claiming their room. I now have their information. And so when they opt in, there'll just be a little box, you know, hey, stoked you're claiming your room. Would you be interested in hearing about Escape Room, how Escape Room Accelerator can help improve your business?
Yeah.
And so it'll be another source of lead gen for me. But it's also going to be a really unique advertising platform too, because nowhere else has the information on which rooms specific people have done or not, right? And so for them, it would be a really unique opportunity for me to be like, hey, look, this is a list of 5,000 people that are within 20 miles of your room that like scary rooms that haven't done yours yet. Would you be interested in running an ad? It would just be something similar to like the Facebook experience, right? Sidebar, a post or something.
Yep. Yeah. That, I mean, I can see 100 different ways to kind of leverage both and monetize them.
Totally. So
that's very interesting. And I'm excited to see how things work out over the next year. So to wrap up, where can people find out more about what you're working on?
Yeah, so just check out escaperoomaccelerator.com. That's my main site. I blog there a lot. Most of the stuff I blog about is obviously specifically about promoting escape rooms. The most recent post I wrote was about retargeting. That being said, if you're curious about some of the concepts, they can be applied to many other businesses.
Very cool, very cool. And what about the day job?
Entreport, yeah, entreport.com. We have free demos. So if anyone's curious about how the product works, and why it's so important, you should definitely stop by. Most of our customers have been able to spend a lot more time with their families because of the automation that takes place from Entreport.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, I definitely appreciate you taking some time to chat on the Hustle to Freedom podcast, and look forward to watching you over the next year and beyond to see how things grow for you.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much, Ryan.
All right, take care. And that's a wrap. Remember, hustlers, you can take something that you are already passionate about and turn it into a money-making side hustle. You just have to find your angle that allows you to offer value in a way that others aren't already doing. Now, you can find more information and all the links that were discussed in this episode by going to bit.ly/hustletofreedom. That's bit.ly/hustletofreedom. Until next time, keep hustling.